What's up, internet? You're tuned into episode 80 of the podcast. I'm your host, Pete and Bessie, joined, as always, by my very good friend, Mr. Stephen Radford.
Hello.
Quiet show this week, just the two of us.
I know, it's not even good friends this week, it's just good friend.
Yeah, my good friend.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, at least, like, usually this show lets me have the illusion that I have many good friends, you know? But today, just one-on-one, which is fine. We're back, you know, it's like our roots. But after last week when we had four people, it's like, wow.
It's a lot more chill.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to scream twice as much, I guess.
Just take
that,
cake.
I barely did. So what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 80 of the podcast. If this is your first time joining us, we are the weekly Nintendo podcast of LootPods.com, where we get together every week and talk about everything going on in the world of Nintendo. If you guys want to get some more content from us, remember you can head over to LootPods.com and check out our news and reviews. Head over to our YouTube channel. Head over to our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/LootPods, and come check out our weekly streams, which will probably be starting back up this week after a slight break we took. I guess a little summer vacation. But yeah, the thing on our minds this week that we'd love for you to check out is our brand new game club, which if you are a regular listener of the show, you will already have seen that you got an extra episode of the podcast in your RSS feed this week. On Wednesday, we published our very first game club, which we plugged a few times on the show proper. But if you missed it or if you're new here, the game club is a special that we're doing once a month on the first Wednesday of every month, where we're going to do a special episode hosted by DJ. There's a YouTube video and a feature on the website where you can get opinions, kind of little mini reviews from each of us. This time around, it was myself, Steve, DJ, Chloe, and then Danny was in the video and in the feature, but not on the podcast. And we chose Coffee Talk, which was one of DJ's favorite games of the year, a game that Steve and I both enjoyed quite a bit. So if you're at all interested in hearing about what I would argue is probably the best visual novel on the Nintendo Switch right now, go check it out. Well, Dream Daddy is on Switch.
I was going to say Dream Daddy.
I saw you freeze there. It's like, well, it's in the conversation. We'll say that. It's in the conversation. So go check that out. Show your support, particularly the YouTube video. No one's watching it. They're reading the feature. They're listening to the podcast. So I would really appreciate it if you would go and just give it a click, give it a check it out, and let us know what you thought about it. We have the second episode of the Game Club. Like I said, normally it'll be on Wednesdays, but we have a special one that we recorded with John Cartwright from Game Explain that we're very eager to get out on Xenoblade. So that will be with DJ, John, and Max from the team. So if you guys want to be a part of that, now would be a great time to pick up Xenoblade, start playing, and get prepped for that one. And we're going to be throwing up a poll at some point soon to decide what the game is going to be for number three. So we would love to get you guys involved in picking it each month so that it's something that we can all play together and get questions in from everybody like we did in the first episode. So if that sounds like something that you're interested in, we hope you'll go check it out. We hope you'll become a part of it for the next one. And remember, come join our Discord. It's a great way to get your thoughts right on the show in our MailPod segment. But we also have a Game Club channel over there where you can get your questions in or discuss the game with everybody as you're playing and, you know, be a part of the Game Club that way. So we hope you'll come be a part of it. We hope you'll write in and let us know what you think. Oh, last one. Last but not least, remember to head over to patreon.com/lootpods. If you get us at that $1 level, you'll get access to our Patreon-exclusive show, After Dark, which every week we talk about something that's not related to the world of Nintendo, usually. So we have a Last of Us 2 spoiler cast coming up next week with Chloe. I think we talked about it last week on the show. I'm the one who held us up. I need a little bit more time to finish the game. So we're gonna dive into that one next week. So if you want to get your hands on that, make sure you go hit us with a buck and you get a free episode of the show every week. So it's a little bit of extra podcast in your feed. So and it's the best way to help us, to help support the show is what I mean to say. Woo! All right, cool. So that's enough shilling. Let's get into what we're playing this week. Talk about some games.
Yes.
I have only played The Last of Us 2 this week. I've had very little time to play video games, and it's super bummed me out. But I finally last night, so it is, as of recording now, we're recording this on Friday. Usually we do Thursday nights. It is the 4th of July tomorrow, which is, of course, a holiday in my my home country. So I have off from work today. So last night I was able to stay up until, like, 1 in the morning playing. and getting quite a bit further into the game. And then I've talked about it with Steve before we recorded because we didn't want any spoilers. And apparently I still have a good ways to go, but yeah, I've got a few days before the spoiler cast.
I'd say like at least 10 hours. You're probably like 20 hours into the game at this point.
Yeah, I think my clock is at like 15-ish.
Okay.
So
I was really irritated. Like, I didn't get some of the achievements I was hoping for. Like, I didn't find all the safes or all of the workbenches. And I felt like I was looking everywhere. Like, everywhere.
Yeah, I ended up having that realization with the part in the beginning of the game where you and Dina are, like, downtown and, like, exploring all the shops and stuff that while talking with Chloe or someone about it, they were like, oh, did you see this part? And I was like, apparently not. I guess I missed that one. Yeah. And I totally thought I scoured the whole area, but yeah. It's easy to miss stuff when you don't have a map.
Oh, yeah. Way, way easy to miss stuff. And, like, some of it's, like, really hidden out of the way as well.
Yeah.
And did you, like, it's a slight spoiler, but not really. Did you get that, like, one attack where you're at a workbench?
Yes. Don't.
Okay.
No, that's a spoiler.
No, I'm not going to say any more than that, but there's a way to get around it. So there is a way to avoid that. I didn't think that was, but I've seen a video that J.V. Gwaltney, who used to write for Game Informer, he posted a video on Twitter. So if you're interested, there is a way to get around that. Go find him on Twitter.
That's cool. But you finished the game.
I did.
So spoiler free. Do you want to share your thoughts on the end, or do you want to save it for the cast?
Yeah, I can share brief thoughts. I really liked it. It was a great sequel. On the whole, I was really mad with some of the decisions that some of the characters chose, and the final outcome of the story I wasn't massively happy with. I felt like it was a little bit long. Some of the places, like, I felt there was slight pacing issues. It could have been sped up a little bit. Probably a few too many different timelines to keep track of. But on the whole, I really, really enjoyed the game.
All right. Well, I'm excited to talk more about it with you next week. Because I am still really enjoying it. And I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm still waiting for that moment where it makes me, like, where it pushes me too far or something like that. Because it seems like a lot of people have that moment. So yeah, we'll talk more about The Last of Us 2 in our spoiler discussion next week. I won't let Steve spoil anything for you listeners because he's out here trying to spoil stuff.
Hey, no, that's not fair.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Have you seen all? It's just like, have you seen all the game references in the in The Last of Us 2?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There was, like, I found like a llama, which is clearly a reference to Fortnite. There's PS Vita with like Hotline Miami on, which I think is like fairly obvious. That was like posted before the game even launched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then like you can find like PS3s in certain places, and you know, like all the Naughty Dog games are like scattered throughout and stuff. Like I know in Ellie's room in the beginning, there's like all the Uncharted games and stuff. And
they did that in the first one, though. Like, there was that shop you went in, and there was, like, a Jack and Daxter board game. There was, like, an Uncharted board game and stuff. I love finding all that stuff.
Yeah, and in Left Behind, there's the Jack and Daxter racing game, but, like, as, like, a bike kind of thing, which I don't
know
if that was.
I wonder if we'll get, like, a DLC like that in this one.
They said there was no plans for it.
Okay.
So, I kind of hope not, but we'll see. So you also got to dip into the Animal Crossing Summer Update a little bit, which I've been seeing my fiance play, and I'm like, hoo-hoo, I want to get back to Animal Crossing.
Well, like, on top of that, so that, like, dropped today, but on top of that, like, it's a new month and a whole new season in the Northern Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. So we got, like, 30 new bugs to catch now.
Yeah.
It's, like, beetles everywhere. So it actually feels like there's a reason for me to go back into the game. One, I've got to like try and get rid of all the weeds. It really does just look like a mess at the moment.
Yeah, I don't even want to know what my town looks like right now. I've been horrible. Off the grid for so long.
Yeah. So I've got all the weeds to do with. I had like 60 messages like from villagers, from mum, from Nintendo.
Are you
like,
dead?
Like, yeah, literally everyone's like, and then like half of my villagers had like the question mark bubbles over their head when I went in. So it's a mess.
Ooh,
but
maybe I can get rid of some people.
I'm the one person I want to get rid of. It's seemingly happy and fine. So I'm really pissed off about that. But hey ho, I might just amiibo card them out. But yeah, the update's really solid. It's amazing that you can just like buy this suit in Nook's cranny, go over to the water and just like jump in. It's great. And then when you're in the water, you just swim with, you just like smash the A button to swim. You press Y to dive underwater when you see a shadow. And there's like a bunch of like underwater creatures you can catch and give to others as well. So there's that whole new stuff that we need to catch. I haven't met any of the new
characters
yet. Sarah's
getting excited about like filling out the aquarium more.
Yeah. Because it looked really empty. Like I've seen people with like four museums. And it's still always been empty, so they've obviously had that like view that they want to put stuff in anyway.
Yeah, which is cool. I kind of like that they're staggering stuff like that because of how much, you know, I think like we as a community devoured that game, you know? Having new things to do now. Like, I think I took a break at the right point. Like, I took a break as I was burning out, not once I was burned out. And
yeah,
now,
I think
like,
you took... We all kind of took the break at the same time. It was like, it's time to move on to something new. And that was sort of like when we'd all decorated our towns exactly as we wanted and got pretty much everything in the museum that we wanted. And it's just like, ugh, let's just wait for something new.
Yeah, and I haven't even done all that stuff. Like, there, I still have, like, some of the museum to fill out, and, like, I haven't, like, totally finalized my town layout just because, you know, like, I started, like, I new games were coming out, and I wanted to play other things, you know? And as much as I love Animal Crossing, like, I did put overall, like, 150 hours or 130 hours, whatever it was, into it, in that, you know, in those 6 to 8 weeks where it was, like, the only thing I was playing. So now it's, like, I'm kind of ready to take that breath, or I had been ready to take that breath, and now, like, you know, I've played 3 or 4 games, you know, like, in that interim, so, like, now I'm kind of feeling, especially after The Last of Us, it's like, oof, I could, I could use something.
Let's have some
slower
happiness for a while instead. Yeah,
because like even Persona, which I took a beat from to play The Last of Us, I've really been enjoying. But it's like a mix.
That's a
of
heavy
like,
story.
Yeah, it's a mix of like light stuff and heavy stuff. So it's now I'm kind of feeling like, yeah, okay, like I'm a little upset by the world again. I need Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm looking forward to getting back into that. So jumping into the news, the first thing I wanted to talk about was Power A has announced a new nano-enhanced wireless controller for Nintendo Switch. And I just saw this. They just put out the trailer for it like 2 days ago, and I saw it while I was kind of like browsing Reddit, like looking for some new, you know, some news for the week. And I thought this was pretty interesting because it's got it's a little bit smaller, but it has standard-sized shells and buttons. It has a new D-pad. It does have motion controls. It's fully mappable. It's got trigger buttons, like, on the back, you know, kind of like that PlayStation.
It's like the Elite controller
for
the Xbox.
For Xbox, yeah. Or, like, they made that attachment for the PS4 controller that lets you put two mappable
really
buttons
cool
on the back. So it's got that, like, built-in standard, which is sweet. It's got a battery that works for up to 20 hours, which is tight. It really looks like the only thing that's missing from it is the HD Rumble or Rumble in general. So, like, I think if you like the Pro Controller, but you, like Steve and I, wish that you had a better D-pad or, you know.
Even like, just, like, the mappable buttons on this. Like, if you're playing stuff like Smash or whatever and you want to be able to, like, quickly hit those moves and just map it on the back of the, it's like on the bit that you hold in your hands,
or like maybe like some of the like PC ports and stuff like that, even where there's like a lot of commands, you know, like something like, you know, Civilization or something like that. I could see that being helpful. So yeah, I thought it was interesting. I like Power A. They made the GameCube wireless controller that I use still, and this one caught my eye because I like the shape of the regular Switch controller, but I would kind of like one with a better D-pad.
Yeah.
But I also have the 8-bit dough that I use for that, so it's kind of like, do I need another one? I don't know.
See, I really like the 8-bit dough ones, and I've got like the one that I did a review for it on the website. If you want to go to lootbots.com and just search for 8-bit dough, you'll see it. But it looks like an old GameCube controller, which is really cool. But that has Rumble built in and a really, really nice D-pad. The main game I use that for is Tetris, Tetris 99, because it's got that really good D-pad that I can just quickly move and like easily pivot where I want the piece to go. Because if you're playing with the Joy-Cons, it's like you have to go from one button to the next button. You can't just like rock on it, which is a pain. And the D-pad on the Pro Controller is just absolutely dreadful. I really don't know why they haven't fixed that.
Yeah, and I have the... this is the power... I have the... If you're... Well, you're... I forgot we don't do this show on YouTube. I've got the Power A GameCube one, and like it's got a really nice D-pad on it.
Yeah, that literally does look like a GameCube controller, and it's basically like the extra Z button to...
It's literally a GameCube shell with a Nintendo Switch controller shoved into it.
You bought that first... You bought that specifically for Smash, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because I have the adapter and everything, but I wanted the ability to play wirelessly, or like, you know, if I go to like a friend's house or something like that, like I can make sure I have a GameCube controller, even if they don't have an adapter or whatever.
So what's the adapter? The Game Bros thing that 8-bit did?
Oh, there's that, but I'm talking about like the actual adapter, like the Nintendo one, where it has two USBs that plug into your Switch dock, and then you can GameCube controllers.
I thought they just brought that for Wii U. I didn't realize that worked with Switch as well.
Yes, it does. And they made a new one for Switch as well. I still have the Wii U one, but works just as well. Yeah, so keep your eye out for this one. I might pick it up.
It depends on the price. Like, Power Ace controllers are usually significantly cheaper than a Pro Controller. Like, a Pro Controller here is like £60, which is a huge pill to swallow when... You know, a console, if you're buying like a Switch Lite, for example, and you just want this, because this does work with the Switch Lite as well, it's like a third of the price. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you don't care about the Rumble.
Yeah. Don't care about the Rumble. Don't care about the Amiibo support. This has got everything else. It's got motion control.
Right.
And coming from the PS4, where the DualShock 4 battery lasts for about 20 seconds, being able to play for 20 hours will be quite nice.
I mean, the regular...
The Pro Controller lasts forever. Yeah, I swear I've charged that like battery. 6 times in its lifespan. It just lasts ages.
Yeah. All right, so next up, we got a little update from Game Informer on Paper Mario the Origami King, which is out 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, July 17th.
Which is pretty exciting. And... Game Informer got some new details on it in like a preview that they threw out, where they basically have like changed the flow of the game, where like rather than having a chapter focused, like in this chapter you're here, in this chapter you're there kind of thing, which is how most Paper Mario or all Paper Mario games up until now have gone. Apparently you're able to like quote travel from region to region seamlessly in an open world. Which is very interesting, obviously, if you know anything about Paper Mario, and if not, what I just told you, like, obviously that's a pretty big change. But then it also says that the Origami King's bosses are scattered around the game's world, and that there are, like, key areas that you can see from Peach's Castle, like, off in the distance, and, like, you work your way towards them, and, like, that's where you find... you know, these bosses that you're trying to, like, chase down or whatever. So, obviously, you know, I think it being a Nintendo game, like, the easiest parallel to draw there is, like, Breath of the Wild, right? Of, like, you see a thing, you work towards the thing. Very interesting for an RPG, you know? And, like, an RPG that's, you know, for all intents and purposes, 2D. You know, like, obviously it's not quite 2D, but, like, it kind of is.
Oh, have you seen some of the shots, though? Like, they look so gorgeous. Like, the 3D effect with lovely. The paper, it's incredible. It really is. I'm actually really excited for this. This will be my first Paper Mario. I've never played a Paper Mario.
That's crazy to me.
Well, you know, I don't know. I was never really a big RPG fan as a kid, and... I think it's been a hot minute since we've had a decent Paper Mario that everyone's been like, go play this.
It's been since the one that Chloe's been streaming, really. Thousand Year Door on the GameCube is really the last one that people love.
So hopefully this one comes in and hits well. It should do, but for all intents and purposes, it looks like a really good game, we'll see. A really good preview. Yeah. It seems to be the combat's like the biggest thing they've changed, right? With the like circular structure.
Yeah, that's very different.
Yeah, Game Informer had this like cool, they did like a mock-up in real life in paper. And like you can see the way they like got the rings to work and like they tried it out in paper and they had like, this origami crane in the middle that they've made out of like gold paper. And you can like see they had like a little model Mario on the outside and how it would actually work. And they like figured it all out. And they used that to pitch it to Intelligent Systems, which I think is really, really cool. I love the fact that they went all the way back to basics and like traditional. Yeah. This is, we just need to get this to work. It's like a board game. Yeah, to get this to work as a board game and then we can put it into a video game, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I hope it comes together. That's the thing that I'm the most wary about. It's like very different and that could either be super rewarding or super frustrating. But I'm hopeful that this game comes out, gets good reviews, and like, you know, catches my attention.
Yeah.
Because I want to love Paper Mario again. I love the first one. I've never played Thousand Year Door, but or like I may have touched it, but I never played it. Whereas like I remember playing through the original Paper Mario with my best friend on his N64 and then borrowing it from him after I moved and playing it again when I was feeling homesick. It's just a great game. So I would love for it to be good.
You're going to pick this one up on launch day, do you think?
Probably not, just because I'm like...
You've got Sekiro as well to play after.
Yeah. Right. Well, not Sekiro. Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, Ghost of Tsushima.
That's what you mean. But yeah, that's like right around the same time. And like I am still playing Persona. And I think if I pick up another JRPG, like I might just like I might lose Persona in the rearview mirror then.
That's what I did. That's what ended up happening with me. I never finished it. I kind of want to know what happens at the end of the game.
And I don't want to do that because I feel like I put the time in. I got this far. If I don't finish it now, I'll never finish it. You know? So I'm going to finish The Last of Us 2 and then pick this up. And Ghost is like longer. So I'm thinking, but playing that in like a more bite-sized way than I am with The Last of Us, where I'm trying to get through it without having it ruined for me.
I think that was the real motivator for me on The Last of Us 2 was like it seems that people are getting a little bit lax on Twitter and just posting things.
Oh yeah,
and, like I saw something.
They're like hashtag The Last of Us spoiler, and it's like that doesn't fucking make me not see the tweet. Like,
yeah.
So you know, yeah, that's and I have all the words muted and stuff already. And I'm still seeing shit, so...
Yeah, because, like, I had to mute, like, go through and mute everyone's names. Like, all the characters' names, I had to, like, mute them so that they wouldn't show up. So if anyone's called Ellie, I haven't seen anything you tweeted for a long time.
Yeah. So moving right along, one of the bigger stories this week, Platinum Games found themselves in some hot water because... And we talked about... kind of the controversy around them doing a Kickstarter for The Wonderful 101, even though the game was like mostly done and, you know,
so I think it was 100% done. At
or 100% point. Done, yeah. Right? Whatever. Like they already had printed copies and stuff. I remember being a thing. And so like there was a lot of hullabaloo about that. Right. And now they're kind of back in the news for this Kickstarter again for both what happened and then how they responded to it. Both of which are not great. And I say that, take it with a grain of salt, everything I'm about to say, because I know I've talked shit about Platinum before on this show. So if you don't trust my take on this, that's fine. Steve will keep me in line here. But
look, take away the fact that it was Platinum. If this was any company,
it's still
any publisher, it's still a really shitty thing to do to your like number one fans. Because that's who the people who backed you on this are, people that were excited about Wonderful 101 or are huge Platinum Games fans. And then just have this stance of, well, you'll read the
Well, here, so let me catch you up, right? So what happened was UK-based backers of the Wonderful 101 were being hit with an import fee of £17, which is a lot of money.
It's like half of what the game costs if you buy it.
Right. Which, you know, many fans were not aware of. And it seems to be the only one that's having this problem. And it was because Platinum made the decision to ship copies from Japan to the United States and then ship them to the UK. So I think that was like where that tax was coming from. So obviously a lot of people were not happy about that, particularly because of the context we've discussed on this show before, where physical copies are in general a lot cheaper in the UK. So not only are you're paying more for it in general, like then you're getting hit with this. So you're probably looking at like double the cost or something like that, or close to mm-hmm. that, right? Like when all said and done.
Well, and on top of that, it's now 2 months since the game released on the eShop. And right. I know that COVID hit, but it's like you could have done something more than just giving them a Steam code, maybe give them an eShop code or something to tide them over. Yeah. Because like I don't have a PC that I could play the game on if I wanted to.
And then like you'd have to start the game over on Switch.
Yeah, it sucks. It's a crappy solution.
So that's obviously really, really shitty. And the fact that like, you know, you're already getting it like weeks late now because of like customs issues and all this other stuff. And, you know, like it really feels like a slap in the face. And then Platinum addressed the issue. And here's the quote from them. A number of our UK backers have informed us that they've had additional taxes applied when receiving their packages. Although possible methods of alleviating this were considered, the tariff duties for different countries can be very strict, and we made sure to comply with all corresponding legal restrictions. We are sorry for the additional charges, but it's clearly stated in the FAQ on the Kickstarter page that all physical rewards are shipped out from the United States and that any applicable VAT or regional tariffs would be paid by backers. So
now, here's an interesting caveat to that. Daniel Green, who's one of the backers, posted on their Kickstarter page and said, you state that the warning of having to pay customs duty on this item when ordering from the UK was clearly stated in the FAQ section. This is known to be the case only from the 12th of February onwards. I backed this item on the 4th of February. There was no warning then. Very poor right. show from Platinum Games, and I won't be backing any further projects in the future.
So that's that to me is where Platinum becomes the bad guy, because I think if the story ended at it was in the FAQ and you didn't read the FAQ, you know, fair play, right? Like, still shitty, but I am not one to fall over backwards to defend publishers or developers when I think that they're doing something predatory, but I also can't necessarily blame someone for, like, it's not their fault if you didn't read the Kickstarter information properly, right? But the fact that they added that information in well after the initial launch date, that's when most people back a Kickstarter, is at the very beginning or at the very end. So you run the risk of 50% of your audience not knowing that, and you not making an effort to send an email or something, or like an update through Kickstarter that clarifies that to those backers, being like, hey, by the way, this is what we're doing. So like, you might get hit with an additional charge, and giving them the opportunity to like back out or at least know.
Yeah, it really does suck. And like, people aren't happy. These are like their biggest fans, and people have been commenting and basically exploded it. There's now almost 7,000 comments on their Kickstarter page saying that, you know, I've had to pay the £15 or £17 fee, and I could have just ordered it on Amazon 2 months ago. So not only do you get the game late because it's been shipped from Japan to the US to the UK and not through the normal distribution channels, but you then have to pay over the odds for it. You know, these people are now paying close to like £50 for a game that you could buy for £40 or physically, or even less than that on the eShop.
Right. So feels bad. Like, I would feel burned too. And I said before, right, like, I have expressed that I'm not a fan of Platinum. I don't particularly care for their game, so it makes it easy for me to not, you know, for me to take them to task for some of the shady stuff they've done in the past, from a business perspective. This isn't the first time that they've done something like this. It's the first time that they've done it to their fans, which sucks. And I totally empathize with that position. Like, I would be really upset and angry in your position. But yeah, this reminds me of like they had a period, I don't remember quite the years, but I think it's like 2013 to 16, where they were working on a bunch of like work for hire games for like Activision, and you know, they phoned in a really, really shitty Avatar, The Legend of Korra game. They made a Transformers game that a lot of people liked, but a lot of people criticized for being half-baked. And, you know, they took that money and kind of ran with it. And, you know, just to see them doing that again. Like, I defended them putting out a Kickstarter for a game that was complete. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think if your fans want to back you, if you want to mitigate financial risks.
No, I see. I completely disagree with you because, like, Nintendo Life put out an article back in March saying it had absolutely nothing to do with raising funds and it was about gauging interest. So it wasn't even that they needed the money. Like, they really didn't. And
no, but that's what I'm talking about, though, right? Like, I think that's the same conversation. And we disagreed back then. It's fine. We don't have to agree. But I don't think that's wrong. I really don't. I don't think there's anything wrong with a company, especially of Platinum size, which is big but not huge, wanting to, you know, gauge interest or mitigate loss or whatever, because the game was paid for. But guess what? If they get all that money in advance, like, that's money that helps them and makes that process easier and makes it less of a risk if it comes out and it doesn't set the world on fire, right? Fine. Totally fair play, in my opinion. If you're being transparent about the fact that that's what you're doing and your fans want to support you, that's your prerogative as a consumer. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But to do this is a total, it's totally taking advantage of that trust and that love for the art that your team makes and saying, oh, well, fuck you, you know? And that sucks. And for them to have done this and then be like, hey, we're sorry, but it's still your fault, so we're not going to do anything. Here's a Steam code. Is like,
yeah, yeah, I think that's the
a total,
thing.
That's a total middle finger to
it's
your,
the
your
response
biggest supporters.
After, yeah. It's the response after that sits what the worst with me. It's like, not even like, oh, well, we'll give you something as a sorry. Like, here's some free codes for other games or something on Steam. But it's literally like, we're not going to give you your money back. We're not going to give you a refund for, like, the fees to pay for them, which I think realistically they should do for the people that backed before the 12th of February. If you backed before the point where it said that in the FAQs it was coming from America and you're going to have to pay fees, you realistically wouldn't have expected it. You know, you go on there, you see that you're paying £40 for something, you expect that that's what you're going to be paying.
Do you guys have class action lawsuits in the UK?
Yeah, we do. You can do them. So there's a couple of class action lawsuits going against car manufacturers at the moment. I know about for like the Dieselgate thing.
Real talk, like, that should probably happen. What they did was like definitely illegal.
I could see that, and there's people in the comments on Kickstarter saying that, you know, they could see a lawsuit happening.
I'll tell you what, if this happened to Americans, there would definitely already be a class action lawsuit, 100%. Be like, these motherfuckers, we're coming for them. I want my $2 payout.
We just write sternly worded letters, like, dear sir slash madam.
Dear sir slash madam Platinum Games, I have had the last of your tomfoolery, and I shan't be buying any games from you in the future. Yeah, so I don't know. I guess, like, I know that there are a lot of Platinum fans in our audience. If you got burned by this, I'm sorry. That sucks.
I'd love to hear about it as well. Like, Platinum. if you did get burned about it, write into us and let us know, like, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to hear from someone who actually bought this and had to deal with it.
I know Max and Pixel both did. And they were both a little bit salty about it on Twitter, so I don't... And I know Max was, like, really excited for this game.
We should have Max on to talk about it.
Yeah.
Get him on next week, maybe. All right. So, jumping into the mail pot before we get into our main topic, we got a question from one of our Patreon supporters, That Doc Guy. He says, do you think Nintendo will ever enter the proper VR market? Not Labo, but Oculus and Valve.
They already did. Virtual Boy.
Yeah.
That's great.
Absolutely. It's tough, because I feel like this is a loaded question, right? Because you say, will they ever? Maybe, yeah. Like, it's hard to say, because I think when I look at virtual reality right now, I think that people that like VR are way, way, way overstating its relevance in the market. Like, I think that there are people who are believers in VR. I think that there is a active community of people who are interested in it, but it's overwhelmingly a niche product. The best-selling VR game sold hundreds of thousands of units less than, you know, a game that Nintendo puts out and sells a million copies, and we're like, that was kind of a failure.
Yeah, and I think you can see that, like, PlayStation haven't even mentioned anything VR for the PS5. I know that the PSVR is compatible with it, but, you know, they had that big launch event, and the PSVR was, like, nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, and, like, there's an argument to be made that you don't want to... Because, like, if they're making a PSVR 2, that could be its own big announcement a few years into that life cycle, and you don't want to muddle the message and be like, well, I have to buy all this at launch. It's going to be $700, blah, 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 you know, whatever. Like, I get why, but the fact there's no mention of VR titles in that does seem like it means, like, I don't know, right? Like, that's, I think there's something to that. I agree with you. And I think, like, you look at, like, Half-Life Alyx, which had a big moment and then kind of came and left. And it's like, is that a game that's going to be in Game of the Year discussions? Is that a game that's going to be, like, does that matter to anyone outside of people who are already fans of Half-Life or people who are VR enthusiasts?
I mean, I'm a fan of Half-Life, and I'm still a little bit pissed that I won't get to play that game because, you know, as I mentioned on the show before, VR does make me feel ill.
Right.
And I don't know that I'll ever be able to get over that. Maybe at some point when the motion tracking gets like 1-to-1, 100% perfect. But at that point, I don't think we're there. I could see that Nintendo will be, if they do ever get into the VR, it will be at a point where VR's like saturated the market and they think they've got an angle that they can do it in a way that works for them. But at the moment, I just can't see it.
Yeah. I think, is there a chance of them getting into it? Sure. But when I really think about what Nintendo's about and what they do, like, they are more traditional than not often, right? Like, they are absolutely capable and interested in innovation. They created the joystick. They, you know, created motion controls, like, oh, sure. But, like, and the Switch is innovative in and of itself. But I think they're more innovative when it comes to, like, games hardware, rather than, like, okay, like, let's make a dedicated VR headset. Like, I think, to your point, Steve, if they're going to make a VR headset, it's going to be at a point where VR is way farther along than it is right now, and where it's way more pervasive than it is right now. Because I think, like, even thinking about, like, with a Switch 2, how powerful it would need to be to run a VR headset competently doesn't feel like what Nintendo's interested in doing, right? Like, look at how powerful the Switch is versus the next-gen consoles it'll be competing with for the next 2 to 3 years.
They kind of gave up with being technology-focused and driven, and probably after the N64. I mean, the GameCube wasn't even as powerful as the PS2 or the Xbox.
No.
And their focus was always being on, let's find that niche. Like, the Wii was motion control, the Wii U was the tablet, the Switch is... It can be handheld,
it's a modular,
or it can
console.
Be docked. So I think unless it's like we've got either an angle that we think VR is going to be really good for, or they think they can do it at a point where it's cost effective and the games like kind of ask for it, I don't think we'll see it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, so this next rock block of questions comes from Asobi, who wrote in to me at pete@lootpots.com, just like you can, and says, "Hey there, Pete, Steve, DJ, and Chloe. Swing and a miss, Asobi. I like how he just writes to whoever was on the last episode, and he just hopes that those same people will be back. It's a good strategy, but it hasn't been working out for him these last couple weeks. Hope you guys are having a great week. Here are my questions for the Mail Pop. Number one, what are your opinions on fighting games besides Smash Brothers? Have any of you gotten into any of them?" I like fighting games as, like, party games. Like, I like playing fighting games with my friends, but I've never been into one enough to get, like, actually good at it, except for, you know, I played ARMS competitive for, like, a bit when it was out, because that was really all there was to do, was play online. So I, like, kind of got into that for a bit, but that's really it.
Yeah, the only thing I definitely recall is Tekken 3 when I was a kid. We would bring that out every time there was someone around, or even just me and my brother would just mess around. But we were button bashing. It wasn't like we were learning the moves and stuff and like learning each character and how we win and et cetera, et cetera. It was literally like, let's get it out. Oh, there's the guy with the lion head, or I'm going to be the one that's like Jet Li. Or yeah, it's like, you know, that's all we were doing. And then we were like button bashing to like see who would win. But yeah, never ever been a real fighting game guy.
And I think it's always been like that for me, where like there's always been fighting games that were prevalent, you know, like when I was young, I played Tekken 2, and I remember I played with my friends, but I played through the single player of every character and unlocked everything. Like I played Tekken 2, 3 and Tekken Tag Tournament 1 and 2 quite a bit as a kid. I love Mortal Kombat, I think it's 9 through 11, or maybe it's 8, whatever. Whenever they did, like, the soft reboot, like, the new era of Mortal Kombat games, I've really, really loved. And I liked I loved the Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe game they did, like, years ago. It was janky and very unbalanced, but my friends and I had so much fun with that game. And then, like, all kinds of, you know, I have, like, a few friends that are, like, huge fighting game dorks, so, like, you know, I've played a lot of fighting games, even though they don't particularly speak to me necessarily. They're fun, though. Number two, have you ever participated in tournaments for any video game, and what's your story behind that? I actually participated in the first and last ARMS tournament in Vienna and won NES Classic back when they were sold out everywhere because I was the only one there that had actually played ARMS on hardest difficulty. That's a good story.
That's cool. No, I never have, but I always go to the Splatoon tournaments. I was due to go to the UK tournament in, I think it was March this year, but it got cancelled, obviously. And when that comes back on, I'll go. I'm a huge Splatoon fan, and I love watching people play that game. Like, I think for me, it's watching people who are really, really good at something.
Yeah.
That I know what they're doing and how they're playing. But I'm never going to be good enough to get to that stage.
Sure.
And I can just accept that and just watch other people do it.
Yeah, I have a few good stories like that. Like, I went to the League of Legends World Semifinals in New York City at Madison Square Garden, and that was, like, fucking awesome. And it was a very last-minute thing where, like, my friends I had two friends who had, like, another group of friends that I wasn't a part of, but I, like, would sometimes play League of Legends with them off and on. And they had someone back out of going, so they had an extra ticket, and they're like, let's see if Pete wants to go. So, like, called me that day and were like, hey, do you want to go to New York tonight? And I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. Shit, that sounds great. So I just rolled up, had no intention of going, and had a wonderful day, and that was awesome. I pay attention to the Pokemon Worlds because I do care about Pokemon competitive, obviously. The only tournament at organized tournament I ever really participated in was Smash One. That was at like a game shop where I used to live, and I did really poorly. My friends that I went
how
and
poorly?
Like, I didn't win one game.
Oh wow, okay.
My friend Mike, who's written for the site and is in my band, he won like two matches, I think, and then we had to leave before he could go in for his next one. Because, like, the tournament went, like, it was, like, really poorly organized, and it went, like, hours and hours later than it was supposed to. And we're like, all right, we gotta leave. It's, like, fucking midnight, so we're getting out of here. We've been here for 12 hours. Do you think that video games have a point of, quote, too much violence / realism in their violence, where it's too much and it shouldn't be allowed, or should they have no restrictions on that? Shout out to Pete for being awesome. Oh, being an awesome host of the podcast, which is slowly creeping up to its 100th episode. Best, Asobi, a.k.a. Mr. PlayStation Questions in my Nintendo podcast. Thanks, Asobi. I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy. 20 more till 100. It's going to be an interesting one. We have to do something special.
I don't think that there is this blank slate of there's no restrictions or anything like that. Like, we do have PEGI or the, is it the ESRB in America?
Yes.
That, like, it gets too far sometimes. I remember, like, one of the ones I remember was Manhunt. Do you remember Manhunt?
And like, yeah, that was like the Rockstar game.
We're gonna ban it. It's like it's too violent. Except you look at that now, and it's like nothing.
They almost gave it the AO adults only rating because it's like, I mean, to be fair, there was some graphic fucking shit in that game where it's like you could like strangle a guy with piano wire and shit. Like it was like not. It was definitely pretty violent.
But I like, as I've said earlier in the show, I don't think The Last of Us 2 was too violent. I See, personally, for me, I think you should just give, like, adults choice. As long as there's nothing illegal in terms of the content, just give people choice to play the game if they want to or not.
Yeah,
that's
I,
where I come down on it.
I'm totally with you there, Steve. Like, I am very frustrated by how many people seem to take the side of an argument when they don't like something, that something shouldn't exist because they don't like it, right? So, like, this game is too violent. It shouldn't be this violent. Rather than saying, this game is too violent, it's not for me. And that is 100% where I come down, is that no, I don't think that any person has the right to say that someone's art shouldn't exist. Excluding the point that Steve made there, right? Like, I think it's totally fair to be critical of a piece of art if you think that it's too violent, or you think that it's gratuitously violent, or that it's, you know, like, violent in a way that is, like, overtly political in, like, a bad way or something like that, right? Like, glorifying violence against women or minorities or something like that. Like, I think that there's plenty of room for gray in that conversation about, like, what is and isn't appropriate, right? Particularly when it's coming from a studio like Naughty Dog that is owned by Sony and, you know, is very, very public-facing when it comes to the games industry. That being said, you know, I have to say, like, and maybe this is grain of salt as someone who's not finished the game, but also is currently very much enjoying it, I don't really think it's my place as a critic or a player to say, like, what should or shouldn't be allowed or what restrictions I should put on Naughty Dog's art or anything, right? Like, to me, my job as the player, as the critic, is to identify art that is interesting to me and experience it and have an opinion about it. And my opinion is no more or less valid than anyone else's opinion on it, right? Like, I can disagree with someone's opinion. I can criticize their argument or, you know, and I have and I will. I think there are a lot of people who criticize games or write things off for stupid bullshit reasons, or they make claims about the game that are patently not true. But at the end of the day, it's a matter of taste. And if you find that The Last of Us is too violent and you feel like that, you know, is the reason you can't appreciate it, fair play. That's fine. I don't feel that way. To me, I think that The Last of Us and, you know, other games or pieces of art in other genres like it that make good use of violence to make commentary about violence and, you know, what it does to a person and those sorts of things. Like, those are human stories worth telling. And if they're done artfully and well executed, then to me, that level of violence is impactful, right? And, like, I think about, you know, some of the great works in other mediums that do similar things, right? Like, I can think of, like, something like Breaking Bad is a TV show I think most people would say in the last, you know, decade of our culture was one of the best things on television. And that show was very violent and deeply uncomfortable and explored a lot of themes that were hard. And that show was often hard to get through and draining to get through. But it said something about people and about humanity and about, you know, power and revenge and all those things. And there's value in that. And I think that we hold video games to a different standard because there are a certain subsection of people that think that video games are quote unquote games. So they should be quote unquote fun. And I don't agree with that. I don't think every game needs to be fun. I don't think every game needs to be, like, light or whatever. And I think that I would much rather have a game like The Last of Us that is violent and makes me uncomfortable but asks me to think about violence and the way that I in video games dehumanize, quote unquote, the enemy and all those sorts of things. Like, those are interesting, valid conversations to have. And I would rather have that than, you know, and not to shit on like Call of Duty or whatever, but like a war game that is just
I 100% was going to bring that up. I was like, to me, I can't play those war games where it just glorifies the army and it's just like, look how great this is. And it's always like, you know, the allies versus whoever. And The Last of Us is totally not that. It takes all of that out of kind of the equation.
And I agree.
Two different factions.
I would rather have that. But I also, you know, it's like, to me, it's like the difference of like, you know, like a blockbuster popcorn movie and like a quiet introspective drama, right? Like, they have different goals and they're trying to achieve different things. And like, I don't think there's anything wrong with liking either of them. It's just a matter of what you like. And, you know, I think like, to me, I'm with you where like, I am far more critical of games that I think glorify war and soldiers and like, you know, the heroism of war without really making any commentary on the, like the violence or anything like that. Like something like Spec Ops: The Line to me is like a way, way, way more interesting and dynamic story about, war than Call of Duty, right? So I don't know. I think there's a place for all types of games and all types of stories in the medium. Like that's what all good art forms do, is they grow and they expand. And I think games are doing that right now. And like, I think we as a culture and as a community of gamers are still coming to terms with that. Because I don't know that there has been a game quite like The Last of Us 2 before. At least not, maybe not in this specific way. So, is what it is. So let's hop into the main topic. This one, it's not super long, but while I was putting the show together today, I found a post on our Nintendo over on Reddit that I thought was really interesting. This one comes from the user Mario Kart 800. And they posted this. It says, discussion. If you were in charge of a, quote, year of revived classics, how would you handle it? I had the idea of 2020 being the year of revived classics, since this year is Mario's anniversary, and next year is an anniversary for both Zelda and Pokemon, in which all of these big releases will be dedicated to franchises that have yet to have a game in the last 8-plus years, like Kid Icarus or F-Zero. So if you're in charge of this year, what games would you choose, and when would you release them? To keep it fairly realistic, the maximum is 6 games. So I thought this was a fun exercise, and like a fun question. So what I was thinking we would do, Steve, is we'll pick our 6 games together. So yeah, we'll deliberate. So the in the lore, right? The Pottscast has been hired to decide what these games are. We're gonna do our best to place like developers or talent with them.
Oh shit, we're gonna do that too.
I want as much as we can.
I'm just gonna get Nintendo EPD to do all of them because that seems seemingly what Nintendo do these days.
No, come on. We gotta be better than that.
We'll get Bandai Namco to do one of them and it can slip into 2023.
Now you're just being mean. So here, let me just pull up a list of Nintendo franchises real quick.
I've already got some, Pete.
Okay.
Mario Land. And I have a list of
development teams open here now too. Okay. So that's good. All right, so you have a first contender?
I want Wario Land. Wario Land 4 was my favorite game on the Game Boy Advance, and I want a new Wario Land, but I want a 3D Wario Land, so I want a, like, Mario Odyssey style, but Wario's the main character, it's his lore, it's his land, he's going around collecting all the stuff that he does, takes it back to, like, the overworld, do all that stuff. And, like, I loved it when you, like, got to the end of the level and then you, like, hit that timer block and then you had to run all the way back through the level super fast to get the key back to the entrance. Otherwise, you failed the level. But, yeah, I want a new Wario Land game. And I'd imagine you just get the Mario Odyssey team to make it. Or maybe you do, like, a 2.5D style Super Mario 3D world or whatever.
So you want it to be, like, a proper, like, Mario game but starring Wario?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I'd be down with that for EAD. I can't think of like a better team for it. There probably is one, but all right. So that's a pick. That's one of them. Maybe, because we have to get 6. So like, you know, we got to be We gotta be careful here.
Can we include Star Fox in the list? Because, like, I know Star Fox kind of had a game on the Wii U, but everyone thought it was trash.
So, I'm gonna lift the 8 plus real years restriction and just say we can do whatever fucking games we want.
Okay, good.
I'm trying to find a list of Nintendo franchises.
Right, I have now. One if you want to. Let me give it
to you. Yeah, send it to me. Oh, here we go. I got one. Nintendo Fandom.
No, here you go. It's on, on Wikipedia.
Is it just a list of games, though?
No, it's a list of franchises.
I was trying to find that on Wikipedia. I couldn't. Yeah. All right. Good. We got it now.
Yeah.
What about Ken Griffey Jr.? Let's bring that back. No. So we have talked in the past about an indie version of Ice Climbers done by Matt/Matty Makes Games.
Yeah.
I would be down to get that in there because I feel like we got to mix it up. It can't all be AAA games.
I'm surprised you didn't just go straight for the one I thought you were going to go for, which was Punch-Out. I thought you were going to be like straight out of the gate with a new Punch-Out game.
We'll get there. So what do you say about that one? Are you good with that?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
All right, so we've got Wario. So let's call it. We're going to call it Wario Land 3D.
Yeah, or I'm happy with Wario World. I think we should just go with that.
Okay, Wario World. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Land is that's the DS ones. Yeah. Wario World 3D, Nintendo EAD.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we're going to do Ice Climbers. I think we just call it Ice
What's
Climbers.
What do you even do with that, though? Like,
I think you just make a Celeste-style game, you make it based on the original, like, gameplay a little bit more, but you make it, like, tighter, faster, more frantic, like, you know.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
I trust Matt/Matty. Okay. But yeah, I feel like you totally just lean into the Celeste of it all. Okay, so that's two. I definitely want to punch out. In here.
Yeah, I knew Punch-Out was going on there.
Who makes it, though, is the question.
Hmm.
What was the team that made ARMS?
No, I think that's the same team that made Splatoon, which I think is EAD.
Is it? Let's see. Who knows, man? They got...
Nintendo Entertainment Planning and Development.
It's so EPD. That's EAD. Yeah, that's the team that used to be EAD.
Yeah.
So when we said EAD before, we actually meant EPD.
I was saying EPD, and then you said EAD. But EAD
I always make that mistake.
EPD is a merger of EAD and SPD. It's all very, very, like, obvious.
Yeah. They need better names. All right. So do we put them on it, though? Like, is that too...
No, because they've got, like, 60 offices, so it's fine.
They could do it.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to put it then. We're going to put EPD for that one, too.
Okay.
Okay. That's EPD. Three. That's three if we keep these three.
See, I want a new 1080 degrees game because I miss snowboarding games.
Damn. Yo, I would be all over a new 1080, but who would make it?
Who makes their sport games? Who made the Mario
Tennis? They're all not good right now, though. Like, it's got to be good.
Okay, do you sub this one out to another team, then?
Maybe. I don't know who, though.
Who made SSX?
The Neversoft that's team that's EA, bringing back Tony Hawk. If that game's good, we have them do it.
Okay, yeah, I can get down with that.
So who is that? It's Vicarious Visions, right?
Let's have a look. Tony Hawk.
I think it is.
Yeah, we'll just go with them anyway. Let's just go with Vicarious Visions. That sounds good to me.
We're not even going to confirm.
We'll give it to them, and if it doesn't work out, we'll just get someone else on the job.
We said we wanted to get Star Fox. I don't know who makes a Star Fox game. Like, who's going to make us a good on-rails Star Fox game right now?
See, I think you could give that to Retro. And because there was a rumor they were doing that, like, Star Fox.
But it was
Fox
a racing game.
Racing
that
game.
They were talking. I don't want
but,
that.
But I think, you know, you look at what they did with Metroid Prime. I think they could do a proper Star Fox game. An on-rail shooter. Or give it to Sega. You know, they've got the... House of the Dead team just kicking around doing nothing.
I don't know about that. I don't trust Sega to make a good game. When's the last time Sega made a good game that wasn't Atlas?
Crazy Taxi.
Great. 1997's Crazy Taxi. All right, how many is this right now? 1, 2, 3, 4. This would be 5.
See, I want a game called Another Code, also known as Trace Memory. Have you ever heard of this?
What? No. So they own it? It's a Nintendo thing?
It's a Nintendo published game. It was built. It was made by a company called Sing, who went bankrupt. Another code in America was known as Trace Memory. It was a DS game, and then they did a sequel on the Wii. And it's like this point and click thing, and you play this girl called Ashley Robbins, and like, you know, she's looking for a father. She's like on an island. But you just have to do a bunch of puzzles, and they were really innovative. Like, one of them was like you had to like close the clamshell of the DS in order to imprint something on a piece of paper, and one was like you blew into the microphone to like blow the dust off of stuff, and like there was like a load of touchscreen.
I remember
things.
That.
Like they, yeah. It was a really cool game, a really really cool game, and I'd love to see them like either revive another code or do a game similar to this, like a point and click adventure for the Switch.
Here's my thing. I respect the pick. It's not making the list.
What the hell? Right, okay. Ice Climbers.
It's too random. It's too random. They're not bringing it back. They're not bringing back another code, guys. Come on.
Why are they not bringing it back?
Because who remembers that? If we're doing a year of we're reviving Nintendo franchises, it's got to be cream of the crop stuff, man.
Okay.
Right now, we've got a solid Wario 3D platformer in the style of Mario Odyssey. We've got a great indie Ice Climbers. We've got an ARM style like AA punch out game.
Let's go for F-Zero then.
You know what? Actually, I'm gonna it's gonna be Punch Out X ARMS. That's the game now.
Okay.
It's an ARMS sequel. It's ARMS 2.
So Min Min's just like going at Mike Tyson.
No. So what we do is it's ARMS 2, and it has like a Punch-Out DLC where you get Little Mac and like maybe the least racist fighters that you can include. You know, like King Hippo, maybe. That would be good. So Star Fox. So you think Retro makes Star Fox?
Yeah. Do you know what? I wouldn't mind a Game & Watch collection for Switch.
I could fuck with that. I don't know
when did Game & Watch originally come out?
The original Game & Watch? It was in like 1982?
Please be 2, because if it's 2, that's an anniversary year, and then it's got to come out in 2022.
And we could have, who is it? Who is it that makes those? It's the same team that does Fire Emblem.
Oh, 1980.
Yeah, Intelligent Systems.
Yeah. And they could do an Advance Wars.
We already got.
It came out in 1980, which means 2020 is the anniversary year.
Oh, so that would be this year. Never mind then. It's done. We're not doing it then.
No.
All right, we need a slam dunk for the last one, okay? We need another one on the level of, like,
I say F-Zero.
I don't know, though. Like, do we need that with Mario Kart, though? Like,
Like a huge, like you give it to the Fast RMX team, and you just say you did such a kick-ass job with Fast RMX. Here's F-Zero. You can do whatever you want with the franchise, and just go make a gorgeous-looking 60 frames per second super fast racer.
It could be cool. I just feel like when we've got 1080 and Star Fox on that list too, it just feels like that feels like a little like loaded towards that kind of game.
Okay.
I feel like we need like one more like banger.
Do you do like a Pokemon remake?
I was looking at the Pokemon stuff, and like Pokemon Pinball Collection would be really cool, or like Pokemon Stadium 3. You just throw the 3 on there, and it's like, yo, what's up?
Just
it's
put here. The new title on new Pokemon Stadium. New Pokemon they're doing Stadium. The snap.
That could work. I don't know, man. Because, like, I'm thinking if you do Pokemon Stadium 3, you have that be, like, a Pokemon Showdown-style game, basically, with mini-games. And, like, you can load your Pokemon into it. Mm. Or do they bring back Wii Fit? Cross with Ring Fit. Okay, all right. We're gonna nail this right now. We're going to pull out one more.
Let's have a look.
Here's what I'm thinking. So, they have... Up until recently, they had the Mario and Sonic games, right?
And the, like the Olympic games. Now it's just Sonic's going there.
So what if we do... And I think they had a game like this on DS or something, but I want a good version of it. on Switch, which is like Mario Sports All-Stars.
Okay. So that it's you can do that.
So that it's like...
It's not just tennis. He's doing strikers. He's doing tennis. He's doing, running.
Tennis, strikers, baseball, fucking
bring
golf.
This is basically Wii Sports, but it's Mario characters. So I want some bowling in there.
Okay.
I know it's in club-esque games, but fuck it. We'll just
I respect that.
And if you're doing that, you might as well get the club-esque games team to do it.
You think they can handle it?
Which is ND Cube.
What else have they done?
Super Mario Party.
Okay.
F-Zero Maximum Velocity. Wii Party.
Hmm.
Wii Play.
I don't know about that team.
Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival.
No. I don't want them to make it. It'll be like Super Mario Party, where it'll be like almost what I want, but not quite.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it sounds
I don't know what team does it. We make a new team. And
okay.
We make it good.
New team, okay.
All right, so who did
like Super Mario Strikers?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Because like that's the last like good sports game, really.
Was baseball after that one?
Next Level Games. Are they still around?
What the fuck is that?
They're still around.
What
it's
they
an
do?
Independent video game developer.
They
in
made
Vancouver.
Punch Out for the Wii too, and they made Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. These guys are good.
Yeah, these guys doing, and they did Luigi's Mansion 3.
They did.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, man. I say we move them up to the front lines here.
Also, Nintendo needs to buy them. Why do they not own them? Since January 2014, the studio announced it would work exclusively with Nintendo. Why have they not bought them?
They made 2 Punch-Out games.
Okay, they should be doing the Punch-Out then.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to put them on that. And then we'll move EBD onto the sports game.
That works. Know. Yeah, because you've got a small team doing the little Punch-Out game. And then... Oh, but thought you were doing Punch-Out with arms.
I changed my mind. We're bringing back Punch-Out proper now. We get an arms cameo in there. Maybe there's a crossover. Little Max in arms. We'll figure it out. But I like that. I feel like that's where we're going with it. So thank you to everyone who wrote in. Thank you to Reddit user Mario Kart 8000 or whatever your name was. I thought that was a fun question. So again, if you guys want to support the show, remember, you can check us out all over the web, Loot Pots. We're at Loot Pots on Twitter and Instagram. Visit us at lootpots.com. Head over to the YouTube channel and check out the Game Club, or check out the feature in the extra podcast episode if you haven't already. Go over to our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/lootpots, and follow us over there for our weekly streams. Steve, you getting back into it this week or what?
Yeah, I'm going to try.
All right. That's encouraging.
Do you know, when Costco comes out, I'm thinking that's the day I want to do
that's
it.
The game.
I want you on the stream.
Okay. All right. I'm in. Yeah. We'll do it. And then you can, again, join the Discord. Write into me at pete@lootpots.com if you want to get your thoughts right on the air like some of the fine folks in our MailPot segment did. And last but not least, head over to Patreon, patreon.com/lootpots, and support us at that $1 level if you want to get access to our Patreon-exclusive show, After Dark, which we're going to go record right now. So we'll catch you next week for another episode of the Potscast. Stay safe. Stay sane.